Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
everybody, and welcome to this show, Delicious Talk. This is a very special show this evening. And by the way, that was the sister, Patti LaBelle, Eyes in the Back of My Head. And if you listen to that song, she's really sending out a message. Sometimes you actually need eyes at the back of your head because somebody may be back there trying to put a knife in your back or hit you in the head or whatever, but that's Eyes in the Back of My Head by Patti LaBelle. Okay, this evening's show is for the sole purpose of getting people from where they was to where they want to be, namely myself. And I've been going through a few things and, you know, just want to express them. I'm not going to be bashing anybody or anything like that. And, you know, hopefully any information we gather this evening will be helpful to the next person that's maybe going through what I'm going through, you know, to prevent them from going through it. With that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host for this evening, Jay. Good evening, darling. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hi, everybody.
Hello, fantastic. How are you? Yes, got Terry on the line. Also, I'm going to bring in. I'm going to also bring in DK Walker because a while back, DK Walker was my my producer of my show when I first started out the Bring a Sexy Back show. So I'm going to welcome him in as well. Good evening, DK. How are you, darling?
Hey, I'm doing fine, girl. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome, sweetheart.
Hello.
Yeah, so
I'm looking forward to having the show. Thank y'all for having me. And this is a topic that, you know, we really need to get into.
Absolutely.
Right. No doubt, because it's just, you know, things that have been swept under the rug and, you know, people are, whatever they can get away with, that's what they try to do, you know. So we're just going to discuss a few things as far as, like, you know, what I've been through since, you know, entering the literary world, because this is basically what this show is about. So, you know, anytime anybody has anything they want to say or add to it, feel free to, you know, just chime in. And any callers out there, I'll, you know, let you know when you can call in if you have a question or a comment. Okay. I started writing ever since I was maybe about 8 or 9 years old. And I'm 64 years old now, so do the math, okay? Now, when I started writing, I really didn't, you know that it would take me as far as it has taken me to this day. And I wish that I had started having my work published, you know, years and years ago, but years and years ago, I really wasn't looking that way. But anyway, getting back to the story, I wrote my first short story when I was in boarding school. I was 14 years old, got a lot of praise for it, you know, and some of my peers asked me, how do you, you know, where do you get those ideas from? But I've always believed this, and anybody who has a special gift is because God gave it to them, and I believe I was born to write. So, you know, and then I'm going to back up a little bit. I was diagnosed with dyslexia when I was in elementary school, not to say that I still don't suffer from it because I do. There's no cure for it as far as I'm concerned, but it wasn't something that held me back or something I latched on to and said, I can't do it because I'm dyslexic. I don't want to do it because I'm dyslexic. It only made me that much stronger because, number one, my mom was always behind me, you know, making sure that I did my homework. She made sure when I finished it was right. You know, some nights I would be up 10 and 11 o'clock at night, and back at that time, you know, children were going to be at 7 and 8 o'clock, and she would not let me go to bed until my work was right, you know. But if I was, if it was a point where she just poured it on me, you're dyslexic, you can't do this, you're stupid, you're dumb, this and that, maybe I wouldn't be where I'm at now, because I can remember in school, a lot of times I would raise my hand up. My hand stayed up, you know, asking questions because I didn't know. And a lot of times the teacher ignored me. You know, I was made fun of and, you know, said things about me. But I still pushed, you know, because I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I would write every day in my little diary when I came home from school or whatever. And then I got to the point, like I said, when I went to the boarding school, I wrote my first short story, and that started me to write poetry. Then I started journaling in 2005, let me back that up a little bit, I started writing erotic short stories. And, you know, people were always telling me, girl, how in the world? You know, it's not that, you know, it really wasn't hard for me because it just seemed like it was just something naturally for me to do. You know, you tell me a little story, I can make a book out of it. You see what I'm saying? So I started, you know, writing little erotic short stories to let my peers at work read. And they always tell me, do I have to get a towel for this? Because the last one you wrote, girl, I was just so hot, you know. But, I mean, that's just how I do it. You see what I'm saying? And I know that my erotic short stories and things, they're very graphic and they're very sexual and very sensual. You know, that's just how I write them. Okay. Then in 2005, I was forced to retire from my job because me and my daughter was in a terrible car accident. And I started writing my very first novel. Little did I know it was going to be my first novel. What it was, I was just writing stuff, and I would just let my peers read it, you know, and get, you know, accolades and praises from that. And that felt good to me. So, you remember when MySpace used to be popular. I was on MySpace, and I put, you know, excerpts up. And I noticed that a lot of authors was gravitating to my page because I had another page on it when I was a romance consultant. They was gravitating to that page. And then I put up my book page, and this one particular girl had sent me, she had inboxed me, and she said, that sounds really good. Have you ever thought about getting this published? And I never thought about getting anything published because, number one, I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't, you know, that never crossed my mind about getting any of my books or any of the works that I wrote published. So she turned me on to her publisher. Now, grant you, people come into your life for a reason and a season. And from that publisher, I had 4 books published with her. But like I said, they come into your life for a reason, a season. And she came into my life to really get me out there. But what happened, and I think within the last book that I had published with her, things started going awry because she had breached confidentiality. And what had happened was I had actually caught her and one of her clients talking about me on a three-way. And people, if you don't know how to use a three-way, don't use it, because what had happened this particular day, I was going through some things with her, and she got the other person on the line, so I thought everything was cleared up, and I got a phone call, so I said, well, I'll talk to you girls later, hung the phone up, and my phone rang right away when I hung up from the other person, because I just said a couple of words to the other person who had called me. I picked the phone up, they was going for it, and I said, I could not believe, I was in shock. Then when I had confronted her, she tried to turn it on me, telling me, oh, well, you was eavesdropping. No, I was not eavesdropping. The phone rang. I picked it up, and I heard you and this girl, I think she was her editor or whatever, but she had publishing books for her. I said, I heard both of y'all talking, what you said, this, blah, 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 blah. Then she tells me, well, it's not like what I would say to your face, but when were you going to say it to my face? Because this was something that, she was speaking of my third book. But anyway, to make a long story short, when you dealing with people, there is a code of confidentiality. And you're not supposed to talk to one of your clients about another one of your clients to a point where it's not good. You see what I'm saying? The thing she was saying was not good. And why would you say those things and then tell me a different story all the time? In my face, she was saying one thing, but behind my back, she was saying something else. So it's sort of like creating a rift in between our friendship, so to speak. So I just said, well, you know, we can just do this business-wise, because after all, she was my publisher, and I had my last book was, you know, getting ready to come out. So she got kind of into her feelings, I guess, because I'm this type of person. I can forgive. Sometimes I might forget. But if I don't forget, at least I do forgive. You see what I'm saying? And I told her that. I said, but we'll just do this on the business thing because we was friends. And that's another thing. Never mix business and pleasure. Never. Because it won't work out. So I told her that, and she got all into her feelings and this and that, and one thing led to another. So my contract was supposed to have been up in 2012 or something like that. So what she did is all of a sudden she started, when I would call her, like maybe in the evening time, because sometimes we would talk on the phone for hours and hours and hours. So I called her this one evening to tell her about the, because she was sending me the manuscript back after she had edited, and for me to go over, and I found some things in it. So I was calling her. It was 6 o'clock in the evening. So she says, "I'm eating dinner. I don't accept calls after 5 o'clock. Oh, wow. That's kind of strange, because sometimes we be calling each other 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and talking, you know, but now all of a sudden you don't accept calls after 5 o'clock. So one thing led to another. When she finished the book, I had to get it done. I had to get her to put something in it that she purposely left out, because I had sent it to her twice. So one thing just led to another, and I just figured, well, she's just being mean for no reason. Then she breached my contract. She, you know, she did this, she did that, blah, 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 blah. So I just said, then she cheated me out of some money for books. You know, just doing all kind of mean things because I caught her talking about me behind my back. And I have forgiven her for that. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, to make that story short, she closed her company down, and she's no longer, you know, a publisher. And I'm going to go back a little bit. She had told me at one point, because like I said, we used to talk and we were friends. I even went to meet her in New York. I went to meet her in person. You know, we had a beautiful day together, me and my BFF at that particular time. And she had even mentioned to me, you know, one time, she said, "Girl, why don't you start your own publishing company?" I said, "No way. No way." Because you know why? The clients that she had was giving her hell. She would call me sometimes literally crying. "Girl, they're saying this about my company. I don't do this, blah, 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 blah." And I would tell her, I said, "Well, don't worry about what they're saying." I said, "You know what you are doing." You know, but little did I know that these clients were telling the truth. They were telling the truth. So I was hesitant in starting my own company because, you know, just listening to her, I said, "I don't want to go through that mess." But after I found out that they were telling the truth, that taught me a lesson. You know, it's a way that you have to treat people. You have to be professional with them, and you have to follow the rules with them. Now, grant you, I started my publishing company because I have a million books in my head, and I really didn't know who to trust, who I could, you know, go to and, you know, get the honest work out of them for my money and this and that. So I prayed on it. I prayed on it for a minute. And then one day, I just said, "I'm going to do this." I started my company without a dime. And lo and behold, it still doesn't have a dime in it. But you know what? I started my company for me because I know I'm not going to cheat myself. I know how I'm going to treat myself, and I know everything is going to be good, you know, me running my company for myself. So anyway, I finally got, well, I had a lot of potential clients, people inquiring and sending me their manuscripts and this and that, but, you know, nothing panned out. So I finally let me back this up. I want to get everything straight. The client that I did get, I ghostwrote the book for him. And the reason why I ghostwrote it for him was because I had interviewed him on another blog talk show with another blog talk host. And I asked him, I said, "Your life seems so colorful. Have you ever thought of writing a book?" His exact words to me were, "No, because I don't know how to write a book." He said, "And plus I'm kind of busy." He said, "But I wouldn't mind having a book. You know, maybe one day I might write a book." So I said, well, okay. Then a couple of years had went by, and I had been seeing this person in passing. And the last time I saw them, I asked them, you know, were they on Facebook? So we hooked up on Facebook, and one thing led to another. And he was telling me a story of some things that had transpired in his life. And I started writing about them. And I sent it to him. And I told him, so when he read it, he said, wow, this is really good. So I said, well, I can, you know, ghostwrite it for you, and you could have, you know, it'd be in your name, you know, giving him all the rights to it, as a ghostwriter should, because that's what ghostwriters, you know, do. And trust me, if I had known that things were going to go the way that they went, I would have not even raised the pen, the paper, the pencil, my computer. I would not have done anything. And so anyway, I'm, you know, writing this and sending it to him, and he's loving it, blah, 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 blah. And he would, you know, give me information to, you know, put in the story. But, of course, all the information that was in that story was based around a few incidents that he gave me, and the rest of the story I created. I did research for it. I worked tenaciously on that book. I missed sleep. I missed a lot of things ghostwriting that book. So anyway, after I finished the book, and he got the proof copy. Now, mind you, this was the most difficult client that I've ever had in my life. And I'm just saying that to say, if you're not going to be professional with me, then, you know, you don't need to do business with me, because I'm not going to step outside of my character if I'm a professional person. If I'm in business, you know, handling my business professionally, which I do, regardless. Because this person, after they got the proof copy, of course, you know what a proof copy is for, and in case anybody out there listening don't understand or don't know what a proof copy is, a proof copy is what you get so that you, the author, can go over that book and find out if anything needs to change, any errors, anything that you're not satisfied with before it goes to the print company. Once it goes to the print company, that's it. And if you have to do any revisions on it, you have to pay for that. So this is the purpose of a proof copy. Now, this person thought that everything was on me. I wrote the book, okay. But it's not my place to, you know, read it, go through this and do that. That's your place to do that. So anyway, I hired the wrong editor. And we talked about it, and I just told her, you know, what had happened, you know, this and that, because he had called me a few days later and told me he had found a few errors in the book. I said, oh, okay, well, that's not the final. You know, I said, we can do it over, just, you know, whatever. So then all of a sudden, I didn't hear anything from him for a while. And I was texting him, calling him, inboxing him, emailing him, no response. So finally, after maybe a couple of months or whatever, it was some time it went by, I get an email, and it says, things have been corrected, and the yellow highlighted. Don't change anything. Don't add anything. If you have any questions, call me. And then it said, now get ready for this. Take that editor's name out, the one that I use. Of course, I was going to do that anyway, and put his name in the person who helped him, quote, unquote, edit the book. Where do authors do that at? So I said to myself, wow, that's kind of You know, then I'm also looking at the fact this is my company. So anyway, I went through the manuscript. Lo and behold, I don't know, you know, because number one, just because you graduate from high school does not make you an editor. And like my publisher told me, I found errors in my book. She tells me she's an English major. That does not make you an editor, okay? So I go through the manuscript, find more errors. Okay. So I said to myself, I'm going to give him a call. No, he had called me by this time because I didn't call him. So he called me. He said, did you get my email? I said, yes. So he says, well, you notice I ain't been calling you. I said, yes. That book was full of errors. I said, well, excuse me, I have to take a little drink because my throat is dry. Excuse me. So I said, well, you know, it was your responsibility. Before I can get the whole word responsibility out, excuse my French, but I'm going to say exactly what he said to me. What the fuck you mean my responsibility? It's not my fucking response. It's your fucking. I said, wait a minute. You know, I'm just listening to this. I could not believe it. I couldn't believe what he was saying. So when he got finished, he slams the phone down in my ear. So I called him back. He didn't answer. So I sent him an email. The email was not nothing nasty in it or anything negative in it. I just expressed how I felt. I didn't appreciate how you spoke to me. You act like it was my fault. All I tried to do was to do what I had to do, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, I said, I wish I had a listen when you told me you wasn't ready for this. He immediately called me and said, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And excuse my French. So I said, okay. No problem. Now, mind you, he had only given me a deposit for the book. He had only given me a deposit. And I did not charge him nowhere near what a ghostwriter charges. Because, granted, that was my first time ever ghostwriting a book. And it was more or less an experiment, you know, because when I told him, I said, well, this is, you know, my first time doing this. And, you know, that's it. But he just got so belligerent, so out of character. It was almost as if he went from being Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde. I could not believe it because this is a person who gives off the persona that they're such a nice guy, they're this, they're that, and people love him, blah, 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 blah. People love the devil. You know, but after that, I had went through some changes within myself, and I had to really do an evaluation on myself and have a good conversation with myself. So I came to the conclusion that he actually kept on advertising that, you know, this book was going to come out. His book is going to come out. This and that, put a trail up, did this, did that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm saying to myself, first of all, it's not your book. Number one, you didn't pay for it. And number two, you didn't write it. So I just, you know, took it upon myself. I sent him a cease and desist letter. And at the bottom of the letter, it says, to contact me by email. He called me. But I didn't answer the phone because it simply said, contact me by email. So he sends me an email. I read it, whatever. And, you know, because I was really done with him after he had cursed me out. And just, it was just like he was just throwing me like a piece of trash or something, you know. And I'm just going to take this. Yes, ma'am.
I see that, you're getting into the story for all your listeners. And do you want to give a ball the good point that you're going to make at one time, or do you want to, you know, take a break and let them marinate on just that first part before they get scared off about the literary world?
Well, okay.
She said, don't scare the writers, the ones that want to write.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody away. I'm really not, you know, but we can take a break, and, you know, you guys can marinate on it. When we come back, you can give me your stories, or I can continue my story. We can break it up or whatever, but we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Terry, darling.
Anytime, sis.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copy of Back to Zero and any of my other books from my website. That's www.jjpublishing.com. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers the service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my clients while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as a seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing service a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.jjpublishing.com. After you make your purchases, check out my website. I thank you all in advance. Brrrr.
color from your eyes. Oh!
Right, that's the late Billy Fat Boy Stewart, Summertime. Okay, so we're back to the gritty side of the literary world when things get down and dirty. And I'm sorry, I apologize for going on and on and on. I'll just break my story up. But I do have a caller on the line who I know is in the literary world as well. I'm going to bring that caller in right now. Good evening, Alfonso. How you doing, darling?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. Is there anything you'd like to ask or share, you know, as far as your experiences you've been in the literary world, literary business, I'm sorry?
I think what hurt me the most of being in this business is that I heard that poetry books don't really sell. Nobody is really buying them. More people want to hear poetry instead of just buying and reading. Everybody's into fiction. And I'm like, okay, but in the fiction world, it just seems like the same story is being told over and over again, and you see, like, the same, you know, titles like Broken Promises and Secrets, Lies, Bitch, Hustler, Daughter, so forth and so on. And it's just like, you know, I was just trying to get into the, you know, game and do something different, you know, with poetry. And, you know, sometimes it has its up moments and sometimes it's self, and then I just wonder, you know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, stuck because poetry is my passion and I love to, you know, perform it, you know, versus sometimes just, you know, doing a reading of fiction. But it's like I am getting into the fiction world to, you know, work on a novel and, you know, short stories. But, you know, at some point I still want to, you know, go back and forth into my main passion, which is, you know, poetry. So,
right.
That's basically just what I, you know, hear a lot, you know, in the business, I guess. You know, I always wonder, like, one of my biggest inspirations is Maya Angelou. And sometimes I have the question, like, was poetry, you know, big during her time, you know, versus now? Because now it's just like, you know, I mean, I've even heard it from readers, like, they don't even, you know, deal with poetry like that. And, you know, everybody's asking me when I'm going to do the big book and things like that.
Wow. Well, I have someone on the line that could express to you because she writes poetry as well. And her books are selling pretty good. Terry?
Yes?
You want to give his name is Alfonso Telly. Would you like to give him a little bit of insight? Because he's saying that he's a poet and he writes poetry books, and he's having a problem because people rather listen to them speak the poetry opposed to buying poetry books. And I'm telling him that you write poetry as well and that you're doing pretty good, you know, with your sales. So can you sort of like give him a little tips or whatever?
Well, what I would like to say to you, Alfonso, is don't listen to what a few people tell you, because some of the greatest poetry writers, from Shakespeare to Langston Hughes, Edgar Allan Poe, they are still relevant today. Even Maya Angelou, you mentioned her. And it just seems that some people are romantic at heart. Some people use poetry when they have issues and they don't know how to express to their lover, spouse, or whatever. So they go to poetry books. And I think some of the decline is because in the schools, they are not doing that as much as they did when I came up during the baby boomer era. We spent a lot of time on poetry. Like, we had to have math, we had to have English, and now the English part of that curriculum was poetry. So I would suggest that you continue doing it, but just try to direct your books to the groups of people that cater to that. There's a lot of poetry websites, but, darling, trust what I tell you. Don't stop writing poetry because a few unlearned people put some negativity in your spirit. If God has given you that talent to put it out there, put it out there, because this might be a season. It might not be a long-term thing. And Alfonso, when guys write poetry, women love to hear that. So that is not true. It's just that the circle you're dealing with, you know, if you look at them, they probably ain't doing crap either. So they're trying to pull you down like a crab in a pot. But, baby, she still works.
Yeah, because your story, Alfonso, at first when you said that you hear a lot, that startled me because that's what I want to do. That's what I share with Miss Terry and Miss Delicious is that that's my passion, and I want to get my first book I want to have out is a poetry book. So, do it, because my thing, I kind of paused. I was at a pause when you said that, but I'm like, this is what I want to do. So if that's your passion and that's what you want to do,
And another thing, just like music, when people used to put out albums or now CDs or CDs, you might get maybe one or two good hits and other ones just garbage or fillers. And with a book of nonfiction and fiction, you know, they write the whole book. And when somebody says it's garbage, they call the whole book garbage. They don't care about chapter 2 being good or chapter 10 being good. If something just don't feel for them, they done. But in a book of poetry, you got so many chances to put out enough stuff that people say, oh, I'm feeling that shit. And other ones could be filler.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know.
Alfonso is a dynamic poet writer, because I've had two of his books, and his poetry is really deep. It's definitely deep. So, you know, people who don't appreciate it, you know, are the people that you don't need to. And like Terry had mentioned, you know, just cater to those people who are into that. And if you want to write a novel, maybe you can include, you know, maybe after each chapter you may want to put a poem in there that, you know, is relevant to that chapter or something like that, if you want to get your poetry out there like that. Because in my books, that's what I do, you know, because I write poetry as well. But, you know, a lot of people, you have to, you know, be careful of who you're, I mean, you know, be know who your selective audience is and, you know, just target them. Do you do spoken word? Do you go to places where, you know, like Bus Boys and Poet or, you know, the different venues where they have the spoken word? You know, because I did a piece when I was in Kentucky, and I had to read it because I don't do spoken word. I'm not going to lie. I don't do spoken word. But this particular night that they was having it, I got up and I read my piece, you know. But, you know, and another girl, she had read hers. But, you know, you can, you know, hang out in places like that and, you know, with people who are really into that. Because just as Terry had mentioned, Edgar Allan Poe, Langston Hughes, Nikki Giovanni, all of them are still relevant to this day. Because I remember coming up to school, we had to do, who was that guy? Liza, bless the Lord.
And
don't you know
that
they, I think that was Langston Hughes.
Langston Hughes, Liza, bless the Lord. Don't you know these days are broad? If you don't get over here, you scamp. There's going to be trouble in this camp. King Saguan, and let's sleep. Why, that was my favorite one, girl.
Lord,
yeah, so, you know, we had to go through that. We went through that, you know, and, you know, little did, you know, people know that, you know, it was still going to be relevant to this day. Now, I don't know what they're doing in the schools now. But, you know, back then we definitely had to learn, you know, different poems by different famous poets and, you know, different things like that.
Right.
So don't, you know, don't become discouraged. You know, keep writing and keep doing what you do, because I can vouch for you being an awesome poetry writer, you know, because I have both of your books and you're definitely, your poet things are deep. And they have
I gotta check them out. And then when we have platforms like this, like she said, go to different places that have spoken word, but also places like this, like Miss Delicious, she has like poetry night. I have poetry night on mine, and Miss Terry, I don't know if you have on your show poetry night, but go to those platforms as well, so you
right.
can get the name out as well. And, call in and share your piece.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right, and say your piece, because you never know who's listening, neither.
Absolutely.
Because somebody might like your piece and, you know, might want to get with you or whatever, you know, and do some work with you or whatever. So the next time that myself or Jade or Terry, we do something like that, we will be sending you an invite. And,
I'm
you know, just come on.
So you can, you're invited.
Right, you know something, we got some people up on this line right now who that's what they do. I'm being one of them, and Jay doing her little hand in it, and Gail and the other brother. Won't you read a little something, something? I'm going to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Woo! Go ahead.
Yeah, you want to read something for us,
darling? Let me see what you're working with.
All right.
Okay.
Did we put him on the spot? We didn't put you on the spot. I know we did.
Okay.
He got that shy laugh.
That's that beard room laugh, baby.
Alonzo.
Yes.
Yeah, this is DK Walter. Why you gather your thoughts and get your piece together? Let me add on to what the ladies were saying and whatnot. If I heard you correctly, you had mentioned how the buying audience has moved towards more visual, you know, far as wanting to see people actually perform their pieces. You know, that could be, you know, very beneficial to you. You know, it costs nothing to actually post a video on YouTube and whatnot, and you will gain a following that way. I mean, it doesn't have to be like something that you would do, like, you know, have the great graphics and things, but a person can actually see you and feel your passion that translates. You know, I'm a lover of poetry myself.
Oh, yes.
So with that being said and whatnot, a person can actually see you and then feel the passion through your words. You know, a lot of people move that way because it actually builds a bigger following as well, you know. So,
I've done a couple of pieces,
you know,
on YouTube. So, yeah, that is true.
Right. Don't frown upon, like, you know, the genre is moving more towards a visual effect, because everything that we do is like, you know, changing with the times. You know, it's easier now to, like, put books out through e-books and things of this nature. And, of course, poetry is going to go its way, but it's never going anywhere, you know.
It's never going to go away. It will come back.
But
everything comes full circle, like fashion, like music, and poetry.
Right.
And another thing is, I have a lot of people who send me MP3s with music behind their poetry.
So
putting music to your pieces, and like if you come onto a platform such as this, at an online radio show, or even that's on air radio show, you can send the MP3 so that they can play it. Another thing is like the gentleman said, YouTube. You can also put your MP3 on YouTube and put some really capture some sensual images or whatever, as well as doing the video of yourself. So just some ideas. I just wanted to kind of add to piggyback off what he was saying. That's another idea as well.
What you said, and just like Gail, now she got another market. You know, she can do stated, poetry, because this chick, man, she took that poem I wrote, and she got to reading that shit all sexy.
I don't
even want to
talk about the moaning and stuff. She's
been
moaning.
Somebody said, where can I get this? I said, you're going to have to ask my friends. I mean, you know, that's another avenue. And, like,
right.
Oh, my Lord. Now she done did another thing of her own, and it's all like, what kind of shit, man, you know? But I was no damn way, because she did my download, and she put fire underneath that shit, everybody.
Was
like, play it again.
And what it did, what it caused is someone like me, who I'm using my voice, I have probably a more passive tone to my poetry, instead of that seduction that she has. I'm like, looking up some of my stuff, like, I need Mr. Lissett to recite some of my poetry. You probably will have that when you have someone to reach out to you. Like, I heard one of your pieces. I need you, you know, can you do one of my pieces like that and recite one of my pieces? You know what I'm saying? Because at the end, Mr. Lissett does say, you know, this is written by Terry E. Lyle, author of Terry E. Lyle, and then voice of Gail Delicious Johnson, so she lets you know where that seductive voice came from, who it was, you know what I'm saying? So you do something like that as well, and you're reciting your pieces, you may have somebody that want to reach out to you and say, hey, can you do a piece for me? Well, I have a piece that I would love to have on MP3, and I don't like my voice.
Hello,
you know
I'm one of them. I like it. Men reach it for me. Hello, give us a call.
Just some things to throw out to you as well. Because I'm where you're at. You know, I've been really, like, you've gotten your books out. So from what I understand and what I'm hearing, you have two books out. I'm still at that level where I'm trying to get my manuscript out. So just meeting people like Miss Terry and Miss Delicious, it's like, it's beautiful for me because now it's really put me there where I want to do it. And when I recited before, I was so nervous. Now I'm doing it, I'm more confident. So that's another thing that we look at as writers. Sometimes we're in the back end and we're like, yeah, I got some good stuff, but I don't know if it's that good that somebody would be interested in it until they hear it, read it, or see it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we ready yet? Did the chef?
His name is called, oh.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Okay, go on, darling.
Okay, the name of this piece is called I'm the Problem. I'm somebody for somebody to show off and show out, but I won't be the one with lips to pout. Against me is always the personal vendetta. It's Scarface starting Al Taylor as Tony Montana. My whole life others are quick to judge. See why I don't forgive more than I hold grudge. Have to be fearless for my soul not to budge from any verbal to physical threatening nudge. This is me in the flesh. I'm someone's son. The war may be lost, battles I've won. Focus on me and do my thing like a don. I like to run things past the baton. What is the meaning now to be nice? Kindness taken for weakness comes at a price. Have to examine who are real friends of mine. Can't ignore the signs, read between lines. I've seen the most, the worst, and extremities. Think I made a difference in lives for good enemies. Keep telling them you don't bully me. Show how wrath of a short man could fully be. It said drama is something I create or invite. I will no longer welcome it to excite. It can appear as a disguise in my life like a mite. Eat the dust and try to make me bite. Some didn't want to act right when I was in their presence. Now they do and still shady in my absence. Mistreated in idea of negligence. I'm straightforward for whole independence. Glad to recognize reality as a loner. Reinventing the wheel, myself a skin toner. Better off exactly where I'm at. If I could call it home, lay down my hat.
Well, baby, good.
Yeah,
I'm going
nice.
To tell you why it's good on so many levels. When you write poetry, the thing that you are trying to evoke is as many of the senses that you have, whether it's the sense of taste or hearing or seeing, you know, and I can feel what you're saying is like, you know, transparent. I mean, I can tell, you know, somebody got on your nerve, you know, and I can feel that, you know, because it transcends the words on the page. So whoever told you poetry ain't going nowhere, okay, let them keep saying that when you start bringing in the bucks because that's some good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm going
to
play a little.
I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
It was really nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm going to play a little piece of mine before somebody asks me to moan. And
oh, God, do your thing.
This is Touching Myself.
Hello, baby. You miss me? Oh, I miss you, too. What am I doing? I'm laying here alone, thinking about you. What do I have on? Oh, you naughty boy. What if I told you I had nothing on? Laying here with all kinds of naughty thoughts in my head. How I love chocolate. And you are my chocolate. I love licking and nibbling on your chocolate bar. I love the taste of your chocolate bar. Oh, yeah. Just thinking of it makes me so wet. I want to touch myself. I love how you hold me, touch me, kiss me. Ooh, yes, when you spike me, pull my hair, long stroke me, and the short strokes penetrate and massage my G-spot. Oh, baby, it's hot, hot, hot. You make me touch myself when you kiss me on my lips, the ones below my hips. Yes, just like that. That feels so good. Why don't you let me suck your manhood? You make me touch myself. That's right, baby. Go deeper. My kitty can take it. She's a keeper. Oh, yes, big daddy. You make me touch myself. My love. You're making me come. Yes. You're gone, and I still want some. That's why I'm laying here, doing what I'm doing, touching me because you make me touch myself.
Yeah, she came for me. Damn. And she had me getting ready to touch myself. I'm sorry, y'all. That's
hot.
Boy.
You know what? And what was interesting is that reminded me of my piece. But now you have me wanting you to do the piece that I did on MP3.
What piece was that?
Masturbate.
I think I have that over here, but how you had did it.
Right, but how you would do it, that's what I was explaining to the brother. How you do it is just, I'm more passive. So I think I sound a little bit in a shy tone from that, from when I was doing it.
Well, it sounded pretty good to me. And if I find it, I'm going to play
you
it.
Delicious just got that voice.
And let me hear the damn download, too, that you did for me. Ooh-wee, this chicken's bad, man. I just put her in another category, erogenous MP3s by Mrs. Delicious Johnson.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to play that. I'm going to play the download and masturbate before the show is over, but we don't want to lose focus on what we're talking about this in this show right now. So, DK.
Yes, ma'am. But before we, I think I'm sorry to cut you off, Gail. I think Terry had a great. Well, she said it jokingly, but that's a great business idea. You know, to actually
yes,
have your poem MP3. Not to take it back there, but I don't want to like forget that thought. Because you have a lot of people that's truckers and you got a lot of people that drive. I don't know if nobody listening. I hope nobody steals the idea, but that was a great piece. It sounded like vintage 70s porn to me, which is the best porn of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge
me.
Anyway, that's a great idea. You should run with it. But let's get
but
back to
is,
the top of the
show.
You
can do like CDs. You can do different CDs of, you know, like we know a male who does that. You know what I'm saying? So you can do different CDs from a female perspective. And I have not heard a female yet who has, like, either music behind it or whatever, or just have it like that.
This
is true.
Well, I'm going to take up a donation so I can get the right equipment, you know, because there it is. You do need the right equipment for it because remember when you had spoken of the white noise, Jade?
Yes, ma'am.
Remember when Mario was speaking? I heard the white noise, and I know what the white noise is, and I know
you
that there are things that
so
I recognize that because it was brought to my attention, but maybe the listening audience don't, you know, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But,
they don't hear it.
Right, so if I get the right equipment going, I am going to start up a fundraiser so I can get the equipment, and then I can, you know, go on and do that, pursue that, because that's, you know, another part of something I can learn, add to my little repertoire.
Okay. I want to say something real quick, you know, and getting back to the theme of the show, you know, just like Gail, she played her MP3, the other brother, he read his poetry. You know, one thing that I must advise the listeners, you know, when you got some kind of talent, make sure if you're working with someone else, whether it's in the ghostwriting capacity or whether or not you get ready to give your stuff to someone to put it to music and make a record out of it, get contracts. And if people don't want to sign contracts, don't go on that, oh, you can trust me. That trust shit does not work when you got some abilities, because a lot of times people will take advantage of you.
That is so true.
They don't have the skills. So one thing I've learned in being a ghostwriter as well, you know, it's a horror story. I don't want to get into that. But the bottom line is I should have made this person sign a contract. But this person was a minister. So I'm thinking, hey, this person's above reproach.
Right.
Be a scandalous person. Fuck me, you know, and I don't appreciate being fucked unless I'm enjoying myself, you know, so I'm saying.
I know that's right.
When you're dealing with other folks.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to enjoy it, but
it
I understand
is, yeah.
you clearly, because anytime, that's the mistake that I made with this particular client. I had been trying to get them to sign the contract and even modified it for them, and they still did not sign it. But I'm just, look at, in hindsight, I'm thinking maybe all this was a setup from the beginning. You see what I'm saying? Because nobody writes like me. I don't write like anybody else. And I know my flavor, and I know when people have read my books or, you know me, and when they read Back to Zero, they're going to know that I wrote that book. You see what I'm saying? Because my flight, and then there are things in that book that I put in there personally that, you know, they're in there. But I know that, you know, it's a very, very, very important to get a contract, you know, because a contract is a bind agreement, meaning that these people, and that was the problem with me and my ex-publisher. She breached the contract, and I brought it to her attention, and she said, well, I don't want to work with you anymore. And I still,
what?
Well, you know, this is something that I don't understand. Now, listen to this and listen carefully. Why do people, when they do something to you, they get so upset as if you done it to them? I didn't talk about her behind her back. I didn't stab her in the back. She stabbed me in the back, and then she's going to try to turn it on me. And the same way with this client. You know, now he's saying that he wrote the book, he going to put the book out, it's his book, blah, 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 blah. But guess what? God got my back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what the devil think he going to do or try to do, you're not going to win. And I see we have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in. Good evening, caller. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
We can.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question or comment for this evening's topic?
Oh, yes. Hi. My name
Hi,
is
how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Ms.
Fine,
Williams?
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Mrs. Williams, and I was calling because I was, of course, I'm a fan of yours, and I follow
you.
I follow you. I've been following you since MySpace, as a matter of fact. So I remember when you were writing your excerpts, and I have your very first book, and I've read a few of your books, including and I do notice that the writing style is very similar, especially in the parts of the book where they discuss where sex is taking place. It's very sensual. The actual details of what's actually occurring during those sexcapades are very similar. So I know that the writing is the same. And ironically, what made me call in today, because I don't typically call in, I always catch your posts on Facebook late because I'm in California, so we're like 3 hours behind you guys on the East Coast. But the person It's funny because I had seen a posting on Facebook with someone saying they have a book back to zero, and I'm like, what the heck? Because I didn't remember reading it. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I said, wow. It was just crazy because they were like, I'm the writer. And they were like going in this uproar, like coming after me very treacherously. Like, I'm the one who said I was the author of the book or something. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I have no idea what's going on. But I'm just calling in to say that I do, because I had told that person, well, I have read Back to Zero about a year ago. So for you to say coming out with it, I'm not sure what's actually taking place. But I'm both fans of both of yours, so I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to take sides. I just want to be neutral as a consumer, as a fan, and all those sort of things, all the details you need to work out. But it's just very ironic that had happened. And I said, I'm going to be staying tuned for Miss Delicious show so that I could tell her that I had an encounter with this person, if it's the same person, because I doubt it's not, because I know that it possibly could be, because the name of the book, I remember the book and I enjoyed it so much. It was awesome that when I've seen
that. William, can I ask you a question? You said that you heard that someone else had the same book, Back to Zero, and you had Gail's book for about a year ago. So you had a year ago, so obviously the cover has to be the same.
No, actually the cover that they put up was a whole different cover.
Okay,
you can put a graphic design of a different of a fictitious cover up and just say that that's my book or whatever.
No. The reason I'm saying that is because I know when Gail took ownership of her book and changed the cover, and so that was not a year ago. So that is why I was asking about the cover. What cover was on the book that you got a year ago that you said from Gail?
I read her book a year ago.
What was the cover on the book that you read?
It was a cover of a lady looking through some sort of, looks like she was looking.
It ain't been no year.
It's been a year.
No, it's not.
But even still, she has it. You know, I get my dates mixed up. So maybe she's thinking it's been a year, it's close to a year. But the point is, she has the book.
I know it wasn't just last week or last month.
Right. That is true. But, you know, because there is another book out there, but that is what she's talking about on Facebook, is that, you know, it's not as uncommon as you may appear. There's a lot of shady people out there, and a lot of times they get away with stuff because it takes too much money to drag their behind the court. So quiet is kept. You know, the legit writer is Mrs. Gail Delicious Johnson.
Right.
So I don't care
what. What was good, though, Ms. Perry, and let me point this out, what is really good is that the reader has said, I can tell because I've had books from her before and read books from her before, so I can tell the similarity in this book to say, this has to be her book. This is her book.
No,
so
right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that, and I hear that from you. So that's what I'm saying, is that it's good that you're open enough to say, I get what this person's saying, and I'm not trying to take sides.
Right. She says she knows both.
I know that this is her book because I see the similarity, and so that's what's excellent about you. You being truthful and faithful to your to an author as her reader and a fan, as you said, to say, I'm not trying to get in the middle of it, but I know it's your book. Because I've read the books before. So that's excellent.
Right. There was some confusion about the book because you're a friend of both parties.
Excuse me. I did not say that. Those are putting words in my mouth.
I'm asking you a question. I didn't say that. I said, how did you know about the confusion? Are you a friend of both of them? That's the question.
I said, no, I am a fan. That made that very clear. I am a fan of both of them.
Okay, I'm not talking about being a fan of their work. I'm saying if it's posted
on Facebook,
I was wondering,
I'm from Washington, D.C. I live in California. I'm from Washington, D.C. So I have a friend there that stars that are in movies of this particular person. So I'm vaguely familiar with what's going on because the person has TV webisodes. They have shows out on the web that I look at, and I'm wanting to, where are the previous episodes to this series? So I befriended them on Facebook, and this was about a month ago. But my friend that stars in these webisodes, I've been friends with for years. So it was just coincidental, and the irony behind it, that the person actually made this post about this book. And I said, wait a minute, that book looks like a book that I already read before from another author. And that's when I contacted Miss Delicious and said, I think there's another book floating around called Back to Zero. And she said, no, I'm the original author of that book. And I had told her that page, and this person is posting this page, she needs to look more into it and find out if this person is, you know, being fraudulent about
being it. Being malicious about it and fraudulent.
He is. Yeah. He is. Right. A lot of people think because they might give a topic to they, and someone else write the story like Gail did, that is their book. And that's the same problem I had as a ghostwriter. If I choose to make you my subject matter, does not mean that's your book. If you don't give me a manuscript that you want me to edit or change the things around for grammatical errors, then if you give me a manuscript, then it's your book. But if you give me an idea that I'm just creating a story around a subject, so, you know, that goes on so commonly. That's why listeners need to know, if they get into a project where somebody going to give you a topic, put that shit in writing. Get a contract, because if you're doing all the research and you're doing all the colloquialisms and making it work, then that's your book.
Right. But see, like I had mentioned, they did not want to. They did not want to sign the contract. And like I'm like looking out back on things, I'm thinking maybe it was all a setup anyway for him to just because. You know, for him just to take possession of the book and add something to his little whatever he does, acting or whatever, you know.
For the agendas, so I wouldn't be surprised. Some people have those sort of hidden agendas with them.
Right, right. So, you know, but like I said, he's not going to get away with it, you know. And, you know, and my books do have a certain flavor to them. And my love scenes, you can tell, even by me doing my poetry, you can tell my love scenes by the things I say and the things I write. It comes full circle, you know, because even when I had wrote that love scene and sent it to him, his exact words were, you done put Delicious all up in this. Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I did. So, you know, he knows the deal, but, you know, people just want to, you know, just feel that they need to have an audience all the time and feel that these people that claim that they love him, quote, unquote, like him or whatever. But trust and believe, when he goes down, how many people are going to be there to support him then? You know, and see, I'm not worried about anything. Because I know what I do. I don't have to steal from anybody. I don't have to lie to anybody about anything that I want or anything that I do because I do what I do. But I think it's a poor rat that only had one hole to crawl into. My mom used to say that. Hello.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
But We're going to take a break, and I'm going to do the download, and then I'm going to find masturbation on here and do that. And you guys, anybody out there that's listening and has a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And thank you, caller, for calling in. And here's the download.
Thank you.
The download. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited, but I felt guilty as if I were going to faint on the spot. It seems like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light, complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist scent. savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed that later will tell the story of our hot, passionate sexual encounter with the intensity of rabbits in heat. As she leans forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands begin to grope her pussy and squeeze her body. Pulling her closer to me, I press into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one as she began to remove the scanty articles of clothing. Fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time. Caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes, I looked at her nipples, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my own pussy starts to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breast and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy screams out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming, intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips and her aroma of body heat drives me into a frenzy. I lick her hot, steamy pussy while her ass starts to gyrate backwards and forwards as I stretch my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum as I turned it on excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy. As I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if likened unto a cat with a bowl of milk, I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this is my last day on earth. I roll my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that were standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decided to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. I can't contain myself. Reaching out to find something to hold on to as I claw at her arms and hands. She squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can't be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. I'm loving every minute of it. And then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on the down low? Yes. Touch me right there.
coming. I'm coming. Oh, that feels so good. Oh, thank you. Oh, The Down Low by author is Terry E. Lowes. Voiceovers by Gail Delicious Johnson. Copyrighted.
That's what I'm talking about. That shit bad to the bone.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. He said, wow.
Amazing.
That's
fire to
listen,
it. Yes.
Right over here.
Listen, that's what you can do, the male version. You hear me?
Oh, yeah. I definitely can.
Well, thank you. We have another call. I'm going to bring this caller in.
All right.
Good evening, caller. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Essence. How are you, darling?
I'm passed out. Oh, I'm fine. I am so sorry to be calling in so late.
Oh, that's okay, as long as you called in, darling. Do you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to add to what we were talking about, you know, this literary business, you know, because somebody goes through something and some people don't, but we're discussing, you know, things that we have went through, you know, as far as a client trying to, well, Bogart, you know, just take my book and, you know, some other things that have transpired between me and my ex-publisher and, you know, just different things that happen to you in the business as far as, you know, what you do in the literary world as well, because I know you have a couple of books out as well and I've read them and they are good books. So do you have anything that you could add to this conversation that we're having this evening?
I think my negative experience does not come from having my books published as an author, but dealing with other authors in both, you know, as far as authors seem to have a problem with paying for promotion, and when they do, it seems like they pay more than what they get. There seems to be no loyalty. I'm going extreme when I say no. There's very little loyalty among authors.
No, you was right. There's no loyalty.
And it's really sad because you would think with such a in such a literary field that the people would be a bit more cool, more educated. You would think they're more educated and that they have left those uncouth actions behind, but they haven't, and it's kind of sad. My problems come in with authors not taking their promotion seriously, not calling in when they're supposed to for interviews or blowing off interviews, so much to the fact that I went from having free interviews to having to charge administrative fee because I'm set up and ready to go. I don't know if you all know, but I own my own internet radio station. So everything that is that is involved with that internet station has to be paid for. So when I offer an author free promo and they don't take it seriously, they don't get that offer again. And I just noticed so many other things, you know, but it's cutthroat, and I didn't think it reminds me of the rap industry. It's cutthroat. It's either, you know, somebody's looking to get something from you but not being completely honest about the method that they're using to get them.
Yeah, I have a problem with authors who want to advertise on my page and, you know, are trying to sell me their books. You know, now I don't have a problem if I see a book and I want to purchase it, but I really would rather trade books with other authors because what's the sense in me buying your book and then you buying my book? Isn't that like giving the money back and forth? So therefore, I would just rather say, well, you know, you give me your book and I'll give you my book, because I've experienced where authors have said, well, when your book come out, I'm going to get it, blah, 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 but my book is out now, you want to get it? And I get it, you know, to show support. When my book come out, it's like they never knew me. you know. So I decided from that point on, any authors that I do know, I will exchange my book freely, happily, and gladly. But authors that I see a book that I may want to purchase as an author I may not know, or, you know, don't feel like they're approachable for me to even say, you know, would you like to trade a book? And I've given away quite a few books, you know, just giving them away, you know, because that's another way of getting your name out there and then developing a fan base, you know. But authors, please, if any authors out there listening, please do not send me anything about your book, dish, your book, especially we don't know each other like that. Because if you want to exchange a book with me, that's all well and good. You can inbox me or you can email me or whatever, but don't put your books, because I've had that problem in the beginning. Authors, and I know that they know that I'm an author, a publisher, whatever, and they would send their books to my page. My book just came out, and my books have been out, so, you know, when are you going to purchase one of my books? But like I said, the authors that I do know, I would really rather just go on and, you know, trade books, you know, because there's nothing really wrong with that. And
I understand the fact that, you know, you publish a book and maybe you didn't get into the publishing industry for money or literary industry for money. But, you know, I understand. I purchase books. I will purchase books. Don't get me wrong. If you send me your book link, if I read the synopsis and I'm not interested, I'm not purchasing it. But
I will purchase
books.
I do too,
And I understand that, you know, you'd like to see some profit come from your craft. And also, you know, there's a numbers game, you know. Tell me if I'm wrong, but, you know, people who sell so many books get on so many lists. I see so many people on the bestsellers list. It's like, okay, where's this list that y'all are on, because everybody's saying they're the number one bestseller. So I guess that has to do something with purchases. But I don't mind purchasing books. I don't purchase every book that somebody sends me a link to. I purchase books that I will be interested in.
Right.
So I certainly understand that, you know, wanting to make a profit out of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, you got these new up-and-coming authors that are just, I guess they just, you know, a little bit thirsty, so to speak, and I really don't use that word loosely, but, you know, I just write, and I enjoy what I do. So if a person buys my book, if they don't buy it, you know, I really get my enjoyment out of writing the book, number one. So, you know, if I never sold another book, my enjoyment was writing that book.
Right.
And I'm not done writing this.
I think a lot of the new authors come into the literary field thinking they're going to be, you know, the next Elaine Harris or the next Jane.
Understanding
the years that these authors put in that nobody recognized their work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't just like when they got in the game, it wasn't all for a profit. They just wanted their name out there. A lot of the new authors don't quite understand the concept that, you know, you may write 14 books before one hits the real bestsellers list.
Right. That is true. That is true. Now, I have been told that, you know, in my reviews, one guy said, my book, You Might Get Lucky. If it was up to him, it would go to the number one book on the New York Times bestseller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I am a good writer. You know, in spite of my dyslexia, in spite of me not being an editor, I'm not the best speller in the world. My punctuation is not that good. But trust and believe, when I write a story, it's read and people understand it. Now, all my stories are I have a wonderful, wonderful editor. Thank you, Terry. But I have a wonderful editor now who has pointed out to me the books that I had from my first publisher, the one who was an English major, there was errors all in that book. And you see what I'm saying? A person, just because you're an English major, you graduated from high school and all this and that, does not make you an editor. So if you didn't, you know, go the whole course or know what you're doing, don't put that out there. Because I was thinking about doing revisions on those books, but no, for what? Those books I got, reviews on them, and, you know, the difference of a person who is a book reader they really don't see the errors in the book because they're more or less into the story. Because I've read some books myself that were so full of errors till it wasn't funny, but it didn't. I still was interested in the story. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But, mm-hmm. you know, some people have errors that are just, you can't even get through the story. You see what I'm saying? But it's not their fault. It's the fault of their editor and then them not going behind that editor. You see what I'm saying?
See, that's, so that's you, the thing. When you pay an editor to edit your book, do you really feel like you need to go behind them?
Yes. Yes, you do. Because, number one, sometimes they don't, it's little things that they may not catch, but trust and believe, it's not bad. You may, one or two things you may find, but somebody who has an English major or somebody graduated high school, oh, my goodness, you will be in for the rude awakening, okay? Because I experienced that in Back to Zero, and I did a revision on that book. And the book, even when I went over it, and this guy has 30-plus some years of editing. This is his business. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. when I read it, the book even it even read different. It just gave me a whole different feeling about this book. So I know when I get it in print, and you know get this out there. But like I said, the ones who read, you know, and I got reviews from these other people who read the book, they obviously, you know, are just book readers, because a book reader doesn't look for errors. They don't know what the errors are when they're into the story. They're just reading the story, and whatever they get out of, that's what they get out of. Now, myself, I can see errors in books, but I'm not an editor. I'll never be an editor. Number one, it's too much of a tedious job, and number two, I don't think I could do that. I don't want to do that. So, you know, when I read a book and I may see something, you know, because even in like I said, when these two people had sent the manuscript back to me telling me that they had corrected this, don't change this, don't do that, and I went through that manuscript, and it was really funny to me.
Well, can I
very
just jump
funny.
In a minute, Gail? Like Gail was saying, she was saying that people who read the book are just people who love to read. They're not looking for errors. Well, you know, some people may notice them, but they just don't go with that because they're trying to stay with the meat of the thing. But she made one good point. You know, a lot of people, such as myself, you know, I have an editor because I have the story in me. I tell my story. You know, my strong suit is just being a storyteller. You know, it's
right.
not my thing to be the person who's looking for grammatical errors or the way you
right.
put it in couplets and all this other shit. That's why you got editors out there. And that does not denounce that I don't have skills. It's just that I don't do that other stuff. What I do,
right.
I tell the story. You know, just like I'll cook the damn meal, but somebody else going to eat it, you know. Let my editor eat up the problems and clean it up for me. But the thing is, I bring the story, you know. And so I'm just saying that because Gail seemed like she was putting herself down. Hell to the no, my sister, because
you
a lot
know
of
what?
People
I wanted to, I
strong
wanted to say
in different
something.
Things. Don't sit there and say, well, I ain't an editor, but hell, you're a storyteller, and that's what you do, and you do it well.
Right, but as far as, like, the editing and stuff, no, I'm not even going to embark on that.
I ain't trying to claim that. Because when I put my name on the book, it says authoress Terry E. Lyle, because I am the storyteller. I don't want to put down
okay,
the
well,
editor.
Okay,
oh, no.
Let me ask
when you go places,
this.
People want to see the person who wrote the book. They don't want to see the editor. And that
right.
is the reason why my first editor of my books, we went our separate ways, because she was so jealous when I would go places and be a speaker and they would cater to me and bring me my meal and my drinks and authorist Terry Law, you need this, you need that. And they was ignoring her. She got mad because she edited the book. I said, editing the book is just somebody who is a proofreader who can make corrections. You know, that don't mean nothing. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's your title. And since she got a little agitated, we couldn't work, man. We'd go someplace, and then she would just go to left field and just piss me off. And then I'm all agitated. I can't talk. And then she got the opportunity to go talk for me because she wanted the limelight. So you know something? I don't disrespect editors. I appreciate them because I got a hell of an editor. But, you know, as a writer, you know, that's what I do. That's what Gail do. That's what the other brother do that's on the air. You know, we do that well. And if we have some issues with, you know, we didn't put the S right or the comma right or whatever, don't hold us accountable because we are writers. we are not English masters and majors and shit. That's not what we do. And we ain't trying to perpetrate that fraud. But you got a
That's
story
right.
you want to hear, we can bring it to you.
Right. Well, Jade, you had a question?
Yeah. Okay, so here's my thing, because you do have some people that want to be writers, then they have this issue. Ms. Perry, you're very sure of yourself when it comes to your writing, and I get what you're saying. I wish I was like you, because you to that point, because you have that mentality. I don't care about anything else but getting the story out, because that's my passion. That's
exactly.
what I did. But you probably have a lot of people out here who want to be writers but have that straight-up big fear. People are going to look at me funny if they start seeing that grammatical error or start seeing different things that I may
what
have.
What I suggest they do, and Jade, they go to a school or go to a college, go to the English department and ask the English department, do you have any college students that need internship credits where they can come and do the work for you for free as part of the internship? You know, go places, you know, and let other people other than your family to listen to your stuff, give their candid opinion, because family, they will lie to you. Sometimes family don't even want to hear your stuff because you're boring them. If you ain't made no money from what you wrote yet, they ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. So don't even go to your family. Go to
right.
other people.
Sometimes your family can be your worst critics.
Yes.
I will say this, and as a reader, I have been reading for a long time, since I was like 4 years old, and I'm a lot older now, and I have never, ever read a book written by anyone that did not have an editing error in it somewhere.
Amen.
Right, that is true.
You took the words out of my mouth. Sorry to talk over you, but yeah, you took the words definitely out of my mouth. I have to run in a hot second, but I want to say this, and I hate to talk and run, but I have something I definitely have to do, but I do want to say this. If you're self-published, as I am, you know, I don't edit. I do everything in my company but edit. I've taught myself
okay.
the business, everything but edit. Like Gail, I believe it to be tedious. But being though I'm self-published, and any author that comes under my umbrella, it's my job, because my name, DK Walker, goes on the cover of the book, and I take pride in my book. So with that being said, when it's true, I'm not an editor. But once I do get that final revision back from an editor, I will go to Douglas Starbucks Coffee House and sit down with a big cup of coffee, and I'm going to go through page by page, line by line. I'm human. I'm not going to catch every mistake. But I'm not going to have something so big and glaring that's going to make the reader or a fellow author, whomever, be like, this is unprofessional work. Why? Because it's my company and my name. Now, I get that. Mm-hmm. I'm not an editor. Mm-hmm. But since my name is on the work, that makes me responsible. And it makes me, because I have pride in my work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, I do get upset sometimes when I see reviews, not necessarily mine, but reviews, period, that place so much more emphasis on the editing than the actual storyline. It's like, okay, so what was the story about? Was the book that horrible you couldn't get the story out? Or was it a comma missed here and there and, you know, something that you could have really paid more attention to the story and not the commas missing? So I say that I've never, ever read a book that didn't have at least one error in it, whether it be spelling, whether it be a period or quotations, something wrong with it.
Right, and
but,
I
take
have,
away from the story. It's
right, and that's what I'm talking about. If you can get through, because you know I've read books that had errors in them, but the story was so good until you could actually overlook the errors. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, you know, no book is error free. Even some books that Miss Zane has put out, you know, I've seen a few errors in them.
But I read one of her books, and it was like six errors in it. So
big publisher. But, you know, that's just how it is, you know, because there's no book that's error-free. Even Terry McMillan, I was reading one of her books, and I seen errors in it. But I'm saying all that to say, it's good to have. You know, just like DK had mentioned, he has his own company, taught us up everything except for the editing, and one day hopefully I can be there as well. But I will never, ever put my name anywhere that I have edited anything, because it's not my job.
I need to ask y'all another question real quick when you finish
that
statement. All right, so let me ask you, because you know I do the greeting card things, and we're on a topic that I'm kind of interested in. I was just
wait my turn. What is the problem with publishers or people who help self-publish books get, like, these greeting cards out as well? Because these greeting cards go out to bookstores. They're in bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
They're in different locations and stuff. So why is it that it's challenging for people like me who want to get their poetry onto their cards and stuff and get that out to different places so that stores and other places will have that?
Let me see if I understood what you said. You're having a problem getting them sales behind them?
So let me just give you just a brief. I had spoken to Vane at one point
mm-hmm.
when she first started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
She was just getting her publishing company out there and getting people under her umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
When she first, I want to say that she had probably a handful at the time, because she was, like, seriously just starting back then. I wanted to put out a poetry book like your guest caller, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted to put out my greeting card. So
mm-hmm.
I had asked her about it. She said, I don't deal with that. I have had a lot of people who are in a position like you and the gentleman that is with DK Publishing who I've
mm-hmm.
said, okay, if I can't go to a publishing company to self-publish and do my greeting cards like this, maybe I can go to someone like yourself. And I've had people say to me then, well, I don't do greeting cards. They don't know how to. They're not going to research it. It's too much trouble. But the thing about it is, like, for me, my opinion is my card is unique. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm like, a lot of people will buy it if I do it, like, what they call that underground selling, so selling
mm-hmm.
it locally. But I know that it can get out there, but I just don't have or don't know where the resources to go. I reach out to people and ask, but a lot of people don't want to take the time because they're like, it's free because I ain't doing it. So
mm-hmm.
that's my thing is, like, how do you, somebody like me who not only wants to get a poetry book out there but wants to do something different and uniquely on their own with their own brand.
Okay, well, let me say this. Maybe what you should do is put your greeting cards in a book. Get your book out there, and then what you could do is advertise that you can also get these on greeting cards as well. Maybe if you do it that way, you know, then you could, you know, because some people, I see beautiful cards or beautiful poetries in books, and I say to myself, I wish this was in a card. You know, so maybe if you, I'm hearing some background noise. Maybe if you could, you know, get it in a, you know, do it in a book, and then, you know, people read it and they say, wow, I wish this was in a card. And, you know, you could, you know, put it in the back of the book. You can also get these in, you know, as a greeting card. Maybe you should approach it from that perspective first and then see how that works. Because, you know, me being dealing with writing books, you know, and, you know, I've never written a greeting card before, but I'm quite sure there is a way that you can get it out there. But if I was to do that, that's how I would do it.
Okay. Because I have, like, a big collection of them, so it's like...
Right, just put them in a book. And then, you know, because I've seen even some poetry books, I've seen poems in poetry books that I say to myself, I wish this was a card, you know. But, and then the fact of the matter, you'll have the rights to it so you can make that card, because I can't take somebody's poetry and make a card out of it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What I was saying is that I've seen somebody, like, put their poems or, like, a greeting card on, like, a poster board, but their poster itself kind of looked like a flyer, which is, like, easy to hand off. And it was laminated. The words was blown up in nice readable
mm-hmm.
font. And it had an
right.
illustration to go with it. And
mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, you know, Ivana.
Right,
you know,
I remember Ivana.
Yeah, yeah,
Snake on a
yeah.
poster board. Yeah, that was
right,
beautiful,
yeah.
too.
Snake.
The point
yeah,
was
yeah.
nice
she
as
had
well.
That on the poster board. It had that... had the, you know, the sexual design to go with the piece. and she had a laminated, and it was like, you know, it was something you could probably put on the table or, you know, just give
to
somebody.
There's another marketing trick that I use as well.
Yeah.
You can take your poems and you can go to the Dollar Tree, buy a lot of frames and put them in a frame. You can buy some, get some little decoration stone shells or some, you know, Mardi Gras beads and glue the outside of the frame.
Right, there's a lot of things you can do, you know, to get them out there.
I think what she was saying is that she wanted to know the method of getting her poetry that she's turned into a greeting card or a card, period. She wants to know how to market them in the store.
They're telling her ways to market it. You know, you go to the park, you know, buy some balloons because the balloons will get someone's attention. You know, you sit up a little table. And then you put your poems over in a, you know, or however way you want to do it, in cards, you know. But the thing is, the key thing to anything to sell is eye candy. If I go to a yard sale, if I see people got clothes in a box, I don't want that shit, you know. But if I go somewhere else and I see you got it hung up on a hanger, everything is organized pertaining to this is the living room stuff, this is the bedroom stuff, this is the kitchen stuff, then I'm more in tune to want to look through the stuff, so you can go different.
That's the thing, Ms. Terry, is I've done that. I've set up tables. I've done them at parties. I've done greeting card parties, Valentine's Day. You know, so I've
also what you
so
can
I've
do.
I've done that. It's just I'm trying to figure out where I could market it. Where because a lot of people says your stuff would go into a store. So my thing is trying to be bigger and expand what I'm doing, because right now I have a collection. Y'all hear me on Poetry Night when I do the poetry from the cards that I selected to share.
Well, go to the store
yourself
and ask who was their buyer for their merchandise and, you know, give them an idea, show them some of your samples, you know, and tell them to get back to you, you know, the grassroots way. You go to the store of your choice, you know, have a portfolio of your stuff or a CD that highlights what you have, you know, that way you can have the CD, you know, and go to them directly. And a lot of times they're looking for fresh, new ideas. Because right now I got my books at this place, this boutique, because she got different things in there. And I said, well, look, you know, I'm a writer. You know, a lot of people like to read because she got a bedroom section there. She got dresses, clothes, jewelry, and everything. Now my books is on her thing, you know, in her store. So you just got to open your mouth and just go to people because you never know.
And
but
then
they might say, maybe we can.
Right.
Okay.
I think one place the caller should start is at greetingcard.org. It's a
greetingcard.org.
It's a greeting
card. These are adult greeting cards, though. For some people, that's not their genre. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Family and
go to adults.
My thing is that it's not like where you go to an adult toy store or something and you see like the raunchiness of the front of the card. It's not like that. It's very tasteful. So the receiver does not know what they get until they open up the card and start reading it, and it tells a story. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say that my making people say,
because
you should get it out there.
Okay. Well, the greeting cards have an association, and if you have something that you want to market, that would probably be the first place to start.
Okay. And I appreciate that because that's my thing is the challenge of expanding. You know, I'm on eBay and everywhere else trying to sell them, and they do sell, but where do I go to?
Did you put a page up on Facebook about them?
No, I never did it on Facebook. It's just like I said, when we do our poetry night, I put it out there. I go to places when I do parties. The ladies under me who's under me, they tell them, you know, different
well,
things
I'm
like
going,
that.
I'm going to
setting up a table, things like that.
I'm going.
You know,
to
I think that's something.
A greeting card store and see how they do it, you know, stuff like that.
They got some raunchy cards. That's why I'm like, I know my cards because they got some cards that just is so distasteful, and I'm like, that's just, you know.
Right, because you know, but maybe this is what you should do, Jade. On your Erotic Talk Radio show page, maybe you ought to you know, take some pictures of your cards and put them on there and put the little poetry down and advertise them on the Erotic Talk Radio page like that. You know, let people know there, because you have a good fan base going on there. And, you know, some of the things that you have, topics and things like that, I'm quite sure they may would be interested in getting some of the pieces that you put out there. So maybe you should try that.
Okay.
Statistically, you got to be able to reach outside of your core fan base. Because once your core fan base buys or your product, it's kind of hard to generate that income again. So you got to be able to reach outside your core fan base. And that's where marketing and promotion comes in. And it's really hard for a self-published author, you know, to get that professional marketing promotion or reach out. You know, like Gail, you and I were talking about the promotional tools at the radio station. It's really hard for a self-published author to get those promotional tools, and that's something missing from the self-publishing is an agency or an entity that strictly deals with promotion.
Right.
Not the publishing, but the promotion. Because a lot of times when you have the publishing companies that do offer the self-publishing for authors, they don't offer the detailed promotion that they need to build to reach outside of their initial core fan base. And that's how you're going to make your money, generate your income, and build your name, because you've got to, like, reach outside of your comfort zone, step outside of your comfort zone, and reach people that you normally wouldn't reach. And that's where the promotion comes in, and that's what self-publishing is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Something dedicated specifically to promotion. But then you do have, you know, the social media that can put you in contact with other people, get you a 30-second radio slot, get you a promotion on a different website outside of your own and outside of the social media sites, put you on different websites. That's how you're going to step outside that fan base and build more fans. Because statistically, once you get that fan and they buy your first work, they don't enthusiastically purchase your second work. They say it enthusiastically that they're going to do it, but they don't.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay, well, we're getting down to the hour, I mean, to the last few minutes, and as I promised, I'm going to play Jade's piece, Masturbate, and then we'll come back and get ready to close the show down. So here you go, everybody. This is Jade Byron's Masturbate.
Wondered when I'm alone what I do. I touch myself, boy, while I think about you. I feel the hot wetness as I begin to masturbate in the darkness. I imagine you being here with me while I massage my wet clit, feeling the clean hotness between my fingers as I move my hips a little bit. Ooh, it's erotic to rub and treasure, but it's nothing like you being here to give me some pleasure. Do you know what I do when I'm about to come? First, I lick my sweetness from my fingers before I'm done. Next, I take take my free hand and I massage my breath. Sam, Father, I wish you were here. So you can finish the rest. I can't help to masturbate when I'm all alone. Pleasing myself to the point when I let out a moan. The adrenaline is rising and I let out a scream as I feel the hot wetness of my my pleasurable cream. Are you wondering now? Would you like to see? Well, then come watch me the next time. The next time that I play with my pussy.
Well, all right. Now, that was Miss Jade Byron, and that was hot. I don't know why you don't say girl, but that was definitely hot, hot, hot. Okay. Now we're down to the last, few minutes in the show. And I do want to let everybody know who was in the chat room or who was out there listening in cyberspace, all the flies on the wall. And, you know, I do appreciate you guys for listening to this show. And I just want to say, for those who don't know, in order to be a critically acclaimed author, first you have to write a book. Then it has to be reviewed and judged by people who read it. So if you haven't never wrote a book, you're not a critically acclaimed author. As a matter of fact, you're not an author at all. But, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there because some people actually think that they imagine that they are. Okay,
I'm glad you told me what it was, what it meant.
Oh, you didn't know? Oh,
I didn't know
what
made a person a critically acclaimed author. What was the difference between a regular author and a, yeah.
Oh, a critically acclaimed author is someone who gets reviews, you know, praise from people who actually read their story. And I do have some reviews from Back to Zero. I will be posting them on Facebook. I have reviews from all the books that I've ever written, but, you know, I consider myself as a critically acclaimed author, you know. But I'm not one to brag and boast, but I do, you know, appreciate accolades when I'm given them, and I know the type of work that I do. And, you know, like I said, I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just blessed, grateful, and thankful that God gave me my gift. And anybody else out there listening that has a gift, you know, be grateful and thankful and use your gift. You know, don't worry about other people's blessings. Count your own.
That's
you
right.
Know, so, yeah, you know, because if you count your own, you be more, you know, into yourself. So I don't count other people's blessings because I don't have time. I'm too busy counting mine.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Right, I do appreciate it. Does anybody have any last-minute closing remarks or, you know, like to let people know what they're doing out there? I'm quite sure, you know, you want to get that information out before we close down the show. So let's start off with you, Jay. What do you do?
Oh, well, I have a talk show, Erotic Talk Radio, every Thursday night, also on Blog Talk Radio. And you go to blogtalkradio.com/erotictalkradio. And Miss Delicious is my co-host there. And Saturdays I have the G-Spot Love Zone where I do sensual poetry or slow jams. And I think I'm going to go ahead and do the poetry night this Saturday. So I'm inviting the author to come on, the poetic gentleman to come on with us, Miss Terry. We hope to see you too.
Okay. Terry, you want to let everybody know what you do? Miss Terry? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I'm author of Terry E. Lyle. My baby is every Friday at 7:30. Go to Blog Talk Radio, and my show is called Unmasked. I deal with the over-the-top, bizarre, and heartwarming stories. You know, if there's a story to tell, I'm going to tell it, and I'm going to keep it real. you know, on my personal website, www.terrylyle.com. But my last remarks I would like to extend to other people is remember that if you are beginning to write or you're writing something, first of all, get your stuff in the Library of Congress Copyright Office, because that's good until you die plus 99 years, and that way your family can get royalties and no one can steal your stuff. Make sure that you get a contract. I don't care if that's your friend, your family, or whoever. Get a contract, because sometimes you need to cover your butt when you got to go to court. And just have that passion and drive. You believe in yourself and take it to the limit. Don't let someone else dictate your steps. Just believe in yourself and make it do what it do.
Thank you, Donna.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Essence, would you like to let everybody know what you do?
Oh, what don't I do? I am the one Essence. I'm an author. I'm also a radio station owner and I interview authors and musicians on my station. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, theoneessenceradio.com. If you're interested in an interview or promotional opportunities, please email theoneessence.radio@gmail.com, and we'll hook you up. We've been around for a long time now, so we
I remember when you started.
All right.
Is
your blog a group?
Is your blog
a group?
Yes. I want to say hello to number one Essence, because, you know, I know her as well, and absolutely.
Hi.
Yes. Hey. yes, Alfonso Taylor, self-published poet, author.
Oh, my goodness, that's my baby. Hey, father.
Hey, how you doing? Yes, you can find me on Facebook, / Alfonso, that's A-L-P-H-O-N-S-O, Taylor. And working on my novel debut. I'm a publisher as well with my own imprint. And you can find me just about anywhere online.
All right.
Well, all right. And, of course, you guys know me. I do this this was an emergency show that I did this Tuesday, but generally my show is every Wednesday at 10:30 on Bringing Sexy Back over there on Delicious Talk Radio. And I think I'm going to take a little sabbatical from the segments of shows that I've started. I also do at the first of the month Open Topic, and every Sunday I do Gail's Blues Joint, and every last Friday of the month I do my musical show, which I'm going to do that this Friday. But I have to do some serious writing, because I have put things on the back burner, you know, for Back to Zero, and I have to really catch up on things. So I'm going to be taking a sabbatical from the other segments that I created, but I will be still doing my Wednesday night shows at 10:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And always remember, if you have a passion, follow it. Do whatever it is, if it's cleaning floors, whatever it is, do your best at it. You know, don't be cutting no corners. Whatever your passion is, follow your passion, because God gave that to you. And not to say that there are not other people that may have the same passion as yours, but trust and believe yours is unique. So with that being said, everybody, I love you guys, and thank you for stopping in. Come back tomorrow night. I'm having a very special guest on, Dr. Melanie Barton. I'm sorry. She's a psychotherapist. She's a radio talk show host, ordained minister, and she's an author as well. We'll be getting into such topics with her, because she was married to a sex addict. She overcame alcoholism, colon cancer, and, you know, different things of the sort. So come back tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. And, you know, you guys take it easy. Have a beautiful evening. And I can't thank you enough. Love you guys. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.